See if I can find my notes. Hope they didn't. This could be the first time I share where my excuse for not getting the right sermon is because my notes blew away. I'm wearing a hat this morning for a couple of reasons. One, I looked at the video from last week, and it was kind of trying to see through the glare of the sun. So this just helps a little bit with the sun. But as you might notice, it also helped with the summer haircut. Who was that laughing? See, it's probably the shortest it's ever been since I left the military. And after leaving the Navy, Judith became my my regulator for haircuts, and she always points out, hey, it's time for a haircut. So I haven't been able to do that for a little while. And as you saw last week, it was a little wild. And I thought it's more like Einstein, but she just said it was crazy, more like a clown. But hey, it's perspective. So I went for a haircut Friday to our friend Mo in Carlton Place. And I thought I was going for a trim. He obviously thought I was going for a real shortcut. And it was a bit of a surprise when I came home. See, what did he think? And what did I think? We had different thoughts on this idea. Our thoughts are really important when we go into some situations. In life, what we think is really important. So this morning, I want to talk a little bit about thinking right. And we've had a really blessed time in the presence of the Lord this morning. We've worshipped. We had 40 minutes or so worshipping here on the grass. And doesn't matter how many people are here when we start, it's the Lord. We invite his presence as we sing. And now we welcome everybody that's here. And it's going to be in his presence in community. We also know that those watching on Zoom had time this morning to play through the songs that were provided and have their own times of worship. But the Lord is everywhere and he is with us. And the way we think, the way we come into these things are really important. And so today I want to talk about thinking right. And you could take the verse in Colossians 3, verse 2. It's one that we know fairly well. You know, set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. You know, wrong thinking can ruin your day. There's some sayings that always, you know, float around. Someone might come into the room and say, oh, I'm having a really bad hair day. You know, what they really mean is life is going bad and things aren't good. Their thoughts are in the wrong place. Sometimes we hear too heavenly minded and no earthly good. You know, there's all these things, but how do we think and how does it affect our lives? Sometimes, and of course, nobody here, it was some other church, but I've heard people talking in such a way that everything, they think everything is, how do you say this, but everything is being done by God, and that's true, but sometimes it becomes a superstition, if you follow what I mean, where we say, oh, I can't cross the road yet because God hasn't told me to cross the road yet, and we take it to the extreme. Now, I'm not saying that those are wrong things. I think we need to live in the presence of the Holy Spirit and listen to what he's saying to us, but we have to be careful how we take our thoughts and apply them to daily life. So there's many things around the way we can think and the way it affects our lives. Recently, last couple of months, we spent some time in Luke chapter 15, and we were looking at the parable of the prodigal son. Very well-known parable. Pretty much anyone could tell you that story. Even people that aren't regularly part of the church probably know the story. And during the weeks that we took time to look at Luke 15, we had some really cool sharing about it, different insights and different people seeing and being shown things by the Holy Spirit from this parable. And that's the idea of parables. Jesus told them because he wanted to stir our thinking. He wanted us to look at things differently. And this morning I want to touch on that a little bit, but really I want to look at the parable of the prodigal in a sense of wrong thinking and how it applies to our thinking today. There's three things I'm going to have a look at. First one, some of the wrong thinking of the son was that inheritance is better than presence. So the right thinking is that presence is better than inheritance. But he was thinking inheritance is better than presence. And he said in verse 12, it tells us in verse 12, the younger of them said to his father, "Father, give me the share of the estate that falls to me." He had a plan to leave home. He had a plan to go somewhere else because for some reason, and we're not told what it really is, but for some reason, he didn't want to be in his father's house anymore. He didn't want to be present with the father. We can jump into Exodus and see some value in presence. Exodus 33, verse 15 tells us, "Then he," that's Moses, "said to him," that's the Lord, "if your presence does not go with us, do not lead us up from here." And, you know, we often come to that passage, and if you read it all in context, you'll see that conversation between Moses and the Lord. But he recognizes going out on your own without the presence of God is a wasted effort. It's something that we should not be doing. And Moses said, "If your presence is with us, we don't want to go." But the thinking of the son in the prodigal son parable was, "I want the inheritance now and leave the presence of my father." It's also worth noting in that parable, the older brother, he always gets the bad rub, and he didn't always behave right, and he didn't think right. And we see in there towards the end, of Luke 15, "My son," the father said, "you are always with me, and everything I have is yours." But the older brother, he was in the presence of the father all the time, but somehow his thinking didn't recognize that. His thinking took him to a place of a place of hate, a place of hurt, a place of, you know, not liking his brother because his brother took everything and wasted it and then came back. But we need to recognize that we live in the presence of Father, and that everything he has is ours. So that's the first one, is inheritance is not better than presence. That's one of the bad thinking we can have. The second one, the other land is not how it seems. You know, the whole part of this story, the emphasis is the younger brother wanted to leave. He wanted to take the inheritance to go because he thought it was greener on the other side, as we say. You know, it's got to be nice. You know, it's boring at my dad's house. I just got the farm. We just got the servants. You know, we eat well. Everything's great, but hey, it's boring. I want to go out and live a bit. And he wanted to go try the other side. And it doesn't always work that way. And that's wrong thinking. You know, the younger son, Luke 15, verse 13, second half, the younger son gathered everything together and went on a journey into a distant country. I found that interesting as well, just a little aside, the word journey. We often talk about being on a journey. And even when we take the wrong route, the wrong direction, the wrong choices, it's still part of that journey that we're on. It's still part of what God is doing in our lives. So we need to be part of that and accept that as such. But the other land is not how it seems. You know, he recognized it and he wanted to come back after a time. He wasted everything he had. and he got into a really bad state. But really, the best place is in the Father's house, in his presence, and working from there. Romans 8, verse 5 to 7, we have those who live according to the flesh have their mind set on what the flesh desires. But those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their mind set on what the Spirit desires. The mind governed by the flesh is death, but the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. The mind governed by the flesh is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Those who are in the realm of the flesh cannot please God. You know, on the other side, living in the flesh, not living in the Spirit, is a place where we cannot please God. And we need to recognize that the other land is not how it seems. The temptations are there. And many people in life go through that part of the journey. But it's not how it seems. 1 John 2, 15, 17. Do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, love for the Father is not in them. And we saw that in the prodigal son. He loved the world. He wanted to go on a journey. He wanted to go try the other side. And in doing that, he really didn't love the Father. He's saying, give me your inheritance. And almost saying, I wish you were dead so I could have my inheritance. I'm going on a journey. I don't want to live with you anymore. For everything in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life comes not from the Father, but from the world. The world and its desires pass away. But whoever does the will of God lives forever. Amen. Hallelujah. The third point of wrong thinking that I see in this parable is that there are not too many sins. The Father always wants us back. The cross is sufficient. You know, the son started thinking, and he said, this is as he rehearsed what he was going to say in Luke 15, 18, 19, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me as one of your hired men. And in that, we can see his wrong thinking, that he felt that he could never become he could never be the son that he was again. He felt he had to be a servant, and that almost to the point that he felt that the forgiveness from his father would not extend to what he had done. And that's something we need to watch out for. And there's people around that feel that they've done too much wrong. God will never forgive them. God will never accept them back. But that's wrong thinking. He will. He will always accept you back. And not as a servant, but as a son, as a child, as a daughter. Psalm 103 tells us, bless the Lord, O my soul. All that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget none of his benefits. Who pardons all your iniquities? Who heals all your diseases? Who redeems your life from the pit? Who crowns you with loving kindness and compassion? Who satisfies your years with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagle? The Lord performs righteous deeds and judgments for all who are oppressed. He made known his ways to Moses, his acts to the sons of Israel. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in loving kindness. He will not always strive with us, nor will he keep his anger forever. He has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor rewarded us according to his iniquities. Sorry, to our iniquities. And that's the key verse there. Look, what we have done when we turned our backs on the Lord, before we were invited back as his children, he has not dealt with those according to our sins. You know, he's not saying, well, this is a, you know, a grade two sin, therefore you have to do this. No, he doesn't see our sins in that way. And he hasn't rewarded us according to our iniquities. You know, we received what we should not deserve. And verse 11, continuing, for as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his loving kindness towards those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. Just as a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. You know, Jesus knew the scriptures. He knew the Old Testament. You know, he was brought up in the doctrines of the Old Testament and the Torah. Do you think he knew this psalm when he was telling the parable of the prodigal son? Do you think he was thinking, yeah, my father caused David to write these words? Or the psalmist, not sure if it's David. And it reflects in the Old Testament, in the Psalms, what God is going to do through Jesus. Paul writes in Romans 3:23, well known, everyone could quote it, I'm sure. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. You know, the parable of the prodigal son is often seen as a story of an individual and of my personal life or your personal life. It's a story of how perhaps sometime in my past I turned my back on God. And he pursued me, as we see in the previous two parables. And then he brought me back, and I came back and was forgiven and brought back into his family. You know, and that's true, and that's right. But it's also a picture of the bigger story. You know, there's a larger prodigal, and that's mankind. But we see in Genesis, the story of creation, the story of God creating man and breathing in him and the relationship that man, Adam and Eve, had with God in the garden. And then something went wrong. They sinned. But that is the sin of mankind, the disobedience of mankind. And the whole, all of us, whether we were really, really bad, you know, in that prodigal year, or whether we've always been part of the church and always been faithful because we were brought up that way. It doesn't matter. We are all prodigal to mankind. And if we had time to get into Galatians and some of the other letters from Paul, you could see him building on that concept, that story of where we're at. So we can see here there's a bigger story. Mankind walked away, but when mankind comes back to God, he kills the fatted calf and he has a celebration. Now, in the case of life, in the case of mankind, he killed Jesus. And we this morning have celebrated that. We've remembered what God did for us as prodigal mankind that we might come back into his family. The debt was paid. We don't have to come to Father, even at the communion table, and say, Father God, I am not worthy to be called your child. God is saying, wait a minute. Wait a minute. You are worthy. Jesus has died for you. And you can be and come back and still are. You never stopped being my child. You just had some wrong thinking for a while. You misunderstood my love for you as you tried the other side. But I never stopped thinking of you. And we see that in the prodigal son story, the parable, that the father was continually looking out for the son to come home. He knew he would one day. And he was waiting with grace that abounds. And this morning, as we shared in communion, we say, thank you, Lord, that we are children. We are forgiven by your grace. There is nothing in our lives that are too great, that is too great for you to forgive. Jesus has paid the full price. Hallelujah. It's a pity you're so far away, otherwise I would have heard that great shriek of delight. I know you are on Zoom. I can Probably see some clappy hands coming up about now. Anyway, communion. Also today, Chuck has talked about it a lot already, and we're really excited because this afternoon we're going to baptize two people. And that's so, so exciting. And it's been too long since we've had baptized people. And if you're thinking about it, get in touch with us. We want to baptize and baptize and baptize and baptize. Because, you know, that's part of the story of the prodigal son. When we come back to him, when we give our lives to him, and we realize that we don't have to be a servant in the house, we can come back as a forgiven, celebrated child of God. And the next step in that recognition is baptism. And that's what we're going to see this afternoon. These two are going to say, God, thank you. Thank you that you paid the price. Thank you that you've forgiven me. Thank you you've welcomed me back into the home. And I'm going to publicly acknowledge that by going through the water, by representing the death that I'm giving to my old self and the life that I'm going to rise up to in the Spirit of the Father. That wrong thinking is totally gone. Temptation will bring it back, let me tell you. But the wrong thinking is gone. Think as a child of God. Corey, think as a son of God as you're baptized. Annalie, think as a daughter of God as you're baptized. Anyone else, if you're going to jump in this afternoon or later, think yourself a child of God as you're baptized. And as we recognize this symbol of new life that is coming. Wow. How can we take it so glibly? It is such a powerful picture. Communion, baptism, community. It's such a picture of what God has done for us. One other part just to touch on, you know, we're on our way and preparing for Alpha. That's coming up. We're planning to start the first Alpha session on the 4th of August. That's 4AUG, 4th of August, if you haven't got it yet. Emails are coming out. There's still time to volunteer if you want to be part of the team that helps put it on. But more importantly, if you know anyone that's interested in coming to here. You know, Alpha is a great way of the prodigals to change their thinking. A lot of people are living in that other land. They're on that journey. They're disheartened. They want to come back to the Father, but they don't know how to do it. They don't think they're worthy, and they need to hear the message. And Alpha does that. It does it so clearly and so openly. And with so much sincerity, that anyone that is questioning God, anyone is wondering who God is, wondering why it all went wrong in their faith as a child, anyone can come and be part of this Alpha and hear the good news. Alpha will change your thinking to right thinking about God the Father. So don't be an older brother when the prodigals come home. That always troubles me, you know, because sometimes if you haven't really been on a highly prodigal journey, although I've said that all of us have in some way, then we tend to feel more like the older brother. Hey, that guy, he left, went away, did all that stuff and came back. Why should I accept him back? I've been here all the time. That's how the older brother felt. But we don't want to be like that. Let's celebrate as the prodigals come home. Let's celebrate with the Father as we hear joy in heaven through those coming back to the kingdom, or even to the kingdom for the first time in an understanding way, through the Alpha course that's going to be going on. So pray for it. Pray for the people that are coming. Pray that God will bring life through that. So just to conclude, three things we need to think about. Let's get our thinking right. The first one, I desire to be in Father's presence. We need to have that thought all the time. I desire to be in the Father's presence. The second one, there is no better place to live than with the Father. And the third one, I can never do too much to be beyond the Father's grace. Let's get that thinking deep in our souls, deep in our spirits. And today is a day of thinking right as we celebrate community, communion, and baptism together. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Let me pray and Chuck will come back. Father, I thank you for your presence. I thank you, Lord, that you're here with us on the lawns. I thank you you're here with everyone in every home. And I pray, Lord God, that right now the abundance and the power and the outpouring of your spirit will come upon us, that we will recognize the renewing of our minds, that we will think the way you want us to think, that we will enjoy and desire to be in the presence of Father. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Amen.